This episode is brought to you by Atlassian. Atlassian software like Jira, Confluence, and Loom help power the collaboration needed for teams to accomplish what would otherwise be impossible alone. Because individually we're great, but together we're so much better. That's why millions of teams around the world, including 75% of the Fortune 500, trust Atlassian software for everything from space exploration and green energy to delivering pizzas and podcasts. Whether you're a team of 2, 200, or 2 million, Atlassian software is built to keep you connected and moving together as one.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Fantasy Footballers DFS Podcast with your hosts, Kyle Borgannoni and Matthew Betts.
Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen, to another edition of the Fantasy Footballers DFS Podcast. I'm your host, Kyle Borgannoni, and I am joined, as always, by Matthew. Let's make it a December to remember Betts.
How did this happen, Kyle? Every year, you know, you get to August, you get to September. We're so excited for the NFL season. You blink and it's gone. I don't understand how it's December, but I'm currently recording with the Christmas tree right to my left. We have the lights on and I'm officially in a good mood because I feel like whenever you have, you know, your Christmas lights up, decorations, December's here. What could go wrong? It's a great time of year. I love it.
I mean, Truman, my youngest, he is fully into one song right now for Christmas. It's Run, Run, Rudolph, the Chuck Berry kind of original version. But only because in Home Alone, they get to run through the airport. And so when we flew back from Atlanta this past week, he asked, can we run through the airport and maybe blast that song? We didn't. But what's better than that?
That sounds like a missed opportunity, in my opinion.
A three-year-old, if that's his world, if that's the world he lives in, like, that's where I want to be. So, I mean, it's December, and for a lot of people, DFS is something that maybe they don't have a bankroll anymore or they're not listening to the show. But we have a lot at stake this week, including something that's been teased on the main show. We brought it up on Tuesday. And then something I need your help, Betts, on this podcast. I'm asking for your help because on the Footballers main show tomorrow on the Fantasy Faceoff, I will be revealing my cash lineup and going against Jason Yeady. Now, we can't change that lineup after I lock it in. So that's the hardest thing. Normally, you and I go back and forth. So I'm going to need your advice, buddy, because if not, then I get shamed and Al Borland does as well.
Yeah, I got to be honest with you, though, man. It would make me very happy if you and Jeremy both got shamed in Deucer's Alley. So, you know, I don't want to be the one that's in the middle of all this, but I'll just say I may or may not be talking to Jason and Andy behind the scenes. So I'm excited for Friday's show on the main show. We'll see what happens.
The thing is, Jason reads all of our content every single week. And in the DFS pass, we talked about this on Tuesday. They talked about it today. We've slashed the prices down to 66% off. So if you bought the UDK, you can get it for $10, which is a slap in the face. I saw you on Twitter just putting this out there that, you know, you feel disrespected, that you feel like you want to talk to corporate or something. But
I talked to corporate. I said, you know, is this real? Like, we literally can't just be giving this away. And they said, no, but this is real, you know. Just calm down. This is real. And oh yeah, and if you save, you know, 10% with DFS Pod, it's literally $15 for the rest of the season. Remember, we go through the Super Bowl. So we're talking playoff DFS, which I love. Super Bowl, you know, props. The showdown game for that one is going to be a ton of fun. And, you know, anyone listening, like, Christmas is just around the corner. If you haven't bought yourself a gift yet or a loved one, this is at the top of their list, guaranteed, the DFS pass. Some people want new shoes, new clothes, you know, new headphones, whatever. No, people want the DFS pass for Christmas. So do yourself a favor. Get it for yourself. Get it for your brother, your loved one, whoever. Go buy it.
Yeah, treat yourself as a boy Tom Haverford would say, yeah, we just got a lot of good content and a lot of things that we feel like are valuable for people to learn DFS the right way, DFS for the rest of us. You can get in there also with our Discord channel, which I love sharing. I've already shared a lot of thoughts early this week about a couple of running backs. I asked some questions, and I love the sharp people we have in there. So should be good, but let's talk about our cash lineups.
Straight cash, homie.
This week, I love a lot of quarterbacks. I will be playing about four or five different quarterbacks in GPPs. In cash, it's kind of down to two or three, and one stands out right now on a Thursday as we're recording. So I can't fault anyone on this slate, which, just step back, would you say this is probably one of the best slates we've gotten for DFS? Just the game totals, you know, the different options we have. Like, is this probably one of the best ones we had of the entire year?
Yeah, I think this is one of my favorite ones that we've had, just because, like you said, there's so many good plays in so many great matchups in really high ceiling environments. A couple of games being played in a dome as well, so you could see some shootouts there. So yeah, there's a lot of options, and I feel like there's a lot of ways to build on this slate. So if you have a different opinion than us, don't feel like it's wrong. It's probably okay and probably right. It's just that right now on a Thursday, there's a few that we have a pretty strong lean towards, but I will say there is so much that is going to change from Friday until Sunday, I think, especially at the running back position. Let's talk about a couple of those injuries. You know, Josh Jacobs, one of those guys, Najee Harris, another one that could really open up some value on the slate. So don't get too locked in as of Friday when you're listening to this. Be sure you're plugged into the DFS Pass throughout the weekend. We'll be updating our content as we get news.
At quarterback, Joe Burrow's price did not move. Still at 6.9. He's my favorite.
What's funny, Kyle, is I've heard you say that twice this week. I think you're wrong. I think it was 6,700 last week.
Was it really?
I'm pretty sure.
I could have sworn it was 6.9 last week.
Regardless, he's still too cheap.
All right, so it didn't move. We know that for sure. We have people on. There's no way we could figure that out, though, right?
No, there's no way. We just have to roll with it.
I literally played him last week. I could look at my cash lineup if I wanted to. Oh, gosh. Joe Burrow's too cheap. I think that's what I'm trying to say. Below 7K, we're going to talk about that game from a stacking standpoint. So Joe Burrow is currently my favorite cash game quarterback. But if you want to go cheaper, you can go to Trevor Lawrence. We'll talk about that game. He's 5.9. And we also like Justin Herbert. So do you have a certain lean on this beautiful Thursday?
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where if you're not looking at the price on these guys, then for me, it's Joe Burrow. You know, when you think about the overall game environment and potential shootout, we know there's a strong correlation in terms of if one quarterback goes off, the other one usually does. And when you look at this game between Mahomes and Burrow, they're the, we call them the pass rate over expectation kings on the Tuesday show. So if you think Mahomes is going to have success, it's going to push Burrow. And oh, by the way, Jamar Chase is back. Then when you look at the price and you say, okay, well, I can save $300 off of Justin Herbert, who I love, but you can save $300. To me, it makes sense that he's kind of the best play, in my opinion, based off those factors. But that said, if you have the extra money and you love Justin Herbert, I'm not going to fault anyone. I also listed on here as a salary saving option, Trevor Lawrence. I just don't think you need to go there. I think we're going to get a lot of value that opens up at the running back position to allow you to get up to one of these two guys in Burrow or Justin Herbert. Those are my top two plays. But if anyone else out there was like, you know what, let me take the savings, drop down to Lawrence against Detroit, we'll talk about that game. I wouldn't fault anyone for that either. But for me, I love Burrow this week.
When it comes to these quarterbacks in GPPs, the question that I'm going to ask as we profile those games later is, what is their combined ceiling outcome? You know, if you're stacking Trevor Lawrence with Zay Jones, who's going to be popular, or Christian Kirk, or the same thing with Herbert and Keenan Allen, can that match a ceiling of Joe Burrow or Patrick Mahomes? And what is the, you know, odds that's going to happen? Because that's really what you're asking in GPPs. I think they all are in great spots. On FanDuel, I just want to add Jalen Hurts. I think he's going to come in lower than he should at 8.8. And, oh, wait, breaking news. Joe Burrow was not the same price last week. Thank you, Betts, for clarifying that.
You're welcome. Very important. Yeah. Very important.
No, there's somebody who's taking notes right now, and they have to erase what I said earlier.
Yeah,
6.9, same price. So
all your credibility for the rest of the show is gone, by the way. So thanks a lot.
I have some good takes coming up, including some. There's a Mighty Ducks question that got in there or two. So
of course there is.
So yeah, Jalen Hurts. I think he's going to go like lower than he should. He's 8.8 on FanDuel against the Titans. He's always a good play. We'll talk about that, and then Jared Goff. Interesting from a stacking. So we'll talk about that more in GPPs. At running back, you mentioned earlier, right now we don't know for certain what we're going to get in a couple of these backfields, and so we can't give definitive takes. The higher price running backs that I know you and I like is, we love Austin Eckler. I saw you tweeting out some Austin Eckler love earlier. Right now, he's somebody that it would be really hard for me to move away from him or Keenan Allen in my cash lineup. One of those two Chargers.
Yeah, I think you want a Charger this week. I mean, the matchup against the Raiders is perfect from a passing game standpoint, and we know that's what the Chargers want to do. Austin Eckler, yeah, he'll get the job done on the ground, but like, we love him for his receiving ability. 15 targets last week, and this is with Keenan Allen back in the lineup. So his target share is stable. I don't think we can project 15, but he feels like a floor of 5-6 catches every week, and on DraftKings, that goes a very long way. The matchup against the Raiders, you talked about me putting out some stats on Twitter. Literally the best. 32nd in DVOA against pass-catching running backs, allowing the most receiving yards to the position. Now they get the best pass-catching back in the game, in my opinion, Austin Eckler. So you really can't poke any holes in it. It's an overall pace-up spot in a game that has a high total. 8,500, I love. And right now in the cash build that I have Eckler in my flex. And I love him for where he's at in his price, because there's a build that I like where if things go south for you early in the slate and you need to get off of him, I think he's going to be very popular. You could probably get up to Devonta Adams or Tyreek Hill in the late window. So I love him from a late swap flexibility standpoint.
Yeah, I love the same thing. The Chargers have basically said, you know, we're not that great at running the ball. And instead, let's get these guys, you know, he had 15 targets last week. So Austin Eckler feels pretty bulletproof. I just want to mention Josh Jacobs because he's really cheap in a, you know, the same game against a run funnel Chargers defense. If you knew that Josh Jacobs was playing right now, like for sure, 7.9, is he in that elite tier of points per dollar plays?
It's so wild what he did last week because he almost didn't play. And actually, as soon as the news came out that he had the calf injury on Friday, this idiot over here took the under on his rushing yardage prop. That did not hit. And then he aggravated it, and I was like, okay, I'm not crazy. Like, the calf was a real concern. So I think the calf injury is more of a big deal than people are maybe expecting based off what he did last week. That said, if anyone just wanted to fade that and say, look, he's playing the Chargers, it's the best run matchup he can get, I don't hate that at all. Just for me, the injury risk would be too much for me to make him a quote-unquote lock in cash. But if anyone else felt differently, you know, he's been incredible. The matchup's awesome. I get it.
There's three 6K running backs that, you know, every week we're like, who's the 6K guys that are giving us a good value? Aaron Jones, 6.9, Travis Etienne at 6.4, and Dave Montgomery at 6.2. Do we have any update on Etienne?
Yeah, still just limited with the foot issue. And they're just saying, you know, it's really not a big deal. I understand that. It's just that when you're flipping a coin in cash, and we often talk about it, like if you get one or two things wrong, you're probably not cashing. And to me, when I'm looking at just making a solid floor-based lineup, if there's any injury risk, I'm going to probably shy away from it, despite the dream matchup against the Lions in a high total. His price tag is great, and if we knew he was fully healthy, it would make a lot of sense. It's just that we can't guarantee that, and so my lean right now is to probably drop down $200 in that range and just play David Montgomery.
Yeah, I'm the same way. The Lions have actually been fourth best against running back position since week eight, so they've actually shut down. There was a Saquon week where I was burned in cash because he didn't hit, but Dave Montgomery and Aaron Jones in the same game, that's the conversation I threw out in Discord, and it's gotten me to the point where I'm leaning Montgomery just because I know I'm going to get 80% of the snaps. Look this up, 35% of the work. That's the team's rushing attempts and targets. Anything over 30% is awesome. He's at 35% since taking over and since Herbert went on IR. So right now I lean in that direction, and I try to be as veiled as possible sometimes when we're giving these takes because we have let's just say we have one of those in the fantasy face-off in the room right now, Andy Holloway.
Yeah, there's a good chance, Kyle, now that you're going to lose because of all this. So good luck.
Maybe I'll just take the rest of, you know, our DFS past people with me. Just bring them to the grave with me. Yeah, so Eileen Montgomery right now. And then talk to me about Jalen Warren. We still have to kind of figure out with Najee Harris, so this isn't definitive, but at 4.9, of the cheap running backs this week, people are asking about Zonovan Knight, you know, Bam Knight, Jalen Warren. Is he kind of somebody in that range? Same thing with Jamichael Hasty. Like, is he the best of those if you knew the starters was out?
Well, Jamichael Hasty is 5K. Like, they're not giving him away. And that, I mean, that's cheap. Don't get me wrong. But, you know, Zonovan Knight's down at 4.6 on DraftKings and then Jalen Warren at 4.9. The thing with Warren is like we've seen him have success over a longer sample than just one game. So my lean is like if I'm going to play one of these guys, it's him. That said, we just talked about injury risk. I know he's practicing in full, but he's less than 2 weeks out from a hamstring issue. Those have a high recurrence rate in the first 2 weeks. So it's not that there's no risk. And when you talk about, you know, Travis Etienne with the injury and Josh Jacobs with the injury, you can't have anything go wrong because of what you're paying for them. Like if Jalen Warren's the dude at 4.9, he's going to be 85% in double ups. And like my lean is just to say, who cares about the injury? Just like go with the field. It'd be a pretty interesting fade in GPPs, but in cash, I'd be like, you know what, just play it against the Falcons. So for me, my lean would be to go to Warren. For Bam Knight, it's actually kind of fun if you have him in your lineup, just yell Bam every time he does something good. But the Vikings are a pass funnel. They're actually really good against the run. And so I want to play Garrett Wilson. I don't think I'd want two Jets in my lineup together this week. That said, if anyone felt differently, I would understand it based off the price.
Yeah, we can move into wide receiver because Garrett Wilson, right now in my early runs, he's going to be the most popular wide receiver on the slate.
For sure.
And Jason and I just went back and forth, just kind of veiled. And we both at the same time, like, okay, we're both playing Garrett Wilson. Against the Vikings, it's a great matchup, allowing most passing yards and second highest rate of 15 plus yard pass plays. So I don't know how you would not play him, especially after last week in a dome. It's a game we like. We'll get some questions later. People are asking about Mike White. Can you get cute there? I'm not going to get cute in cash, but we can talk about it from a stacking. But Garrett Wilson, he's pretty much a cash lock this week.
Yep, absolutely love him. Vikings getting shredded through the air. And Garrett Wilson's efficiency metrics, when you look at kind of what he's done with anyone not named Zach Wilson, 30% targets per route run is absolutely insane. 2.26 yards per route run. You love those metrics. We'd see this all every year, right? Rookies in the second half of the season come out and smash. To me, he's the first name I put in this week.
I felt like such a smart man in my dynasty league, taking Garrett Wilson over Jameson Williams. And my whole league was like, what are you doing?
I got to do his rookie profile on the site. And I remember messaging about him like, dude, I love this guy. Like, he's incredible. So it's good to see these rookies come on. Like Treylon Burks is coming on a little bit too. Like it's super fun with all these guys.
Even Sky Moore. I want to mention him later in that game. Like last couple of weeks, like his targets per outrun has skyrocketed. So Garrett
Wilson. Whoa. You try that?
I did.
Skyrocketed? Like
yeah.
Such a dad.
Skyrockets in flight more. Yeah.
There we go.
So talk to me about the other wide receivers because Garrett Wilson seems like he's going to be in a lot of lineups. Feels like we have a bunch of dudes who always show up in our cash game pools like Zay Jones, Keenan Allen, Amon-Ra. These guys are pretty much all the same player. One of them's the GOAT. And the other one's, you know, he's doing fine for a second year in the league.
Yeah. You're talking about Amon-Ra. He's fine. You know, he's serviceable. We'll say that. No, he's an elite player this week. And I said Garrett Wilson's the first name that went in my lineup. Amon-Ra was the second. And I'm very close to trying to play him in all of my tournament lineups as well.
Wow.
I am extremely bullish in this spot for Amon-Ra. We know the story with the Lions, right? Jared Goff is always better at home. When you think about the matchup, the Jaguars are the definition of a pass funnel defense. Over the last 3 weeks, they are allowing 8.1 yards per attempt. Remember like the quarterbacks that they faced in the last month? Lamar had been struggling, 7.9 yards per attempt. Mahomes, 9.5. He's been great. Russell Wilson, the Broncos offense is terrible. 8.4 yards per attempt against this team. That's how bad the Jaguars are in the secondary. And oh, by the way, the matchup in the slot is beautiful. They're allowing the fourth most receiving touchdowns to wide receivers. They're 32nd in PFF tackling grade. They've allowed the fifth most yards after the catch. Amon-Ra St. Brown is top 10 in the league in yards after the catch. I think he goes bonkers in this spot and not only has the floor that we want, but truly has 25 plus DK points in him this week. So I love Amon-Ra. I'm going to play him a ton in this spot.
Do you have a certain lean between the Jaguars wide receiver? Because I love this spot for Christian Kirk.
Yes.
And
I like both guys.
And yet Zay Jones is cheaper. Just came off a game with 11 and 140, 145. It's a coin flip for me right now because I think Zay will be popular just based on being the cheaper dude. But yeah, we have a bunch of PPR wide receivers that are at good price. Like Amon-Ra should be 7,800, like closing on 8,000, and yet they keep not moving his price that much. So at 7,100, I agree with you. Like it's just, you know, you're going to get 10 targets. So.
Yep, and that's what we care about in cash games. But to speak to the Jags guys, I'm with you. I love Christian Kirk. We can talk more about him in a minute. I think he's probably going to go a little overlooked in general in cash games because, you know, people are going to want to play Eckler. They're going to want to pay up for Amon-Ra. Garrett Wilson's in. And then Zay Jones looks like the popular guy. So right now it kind of looks like, okay, it's fine. Play Zay Jones in cash if you don't mind it. You know, 4.9 is cheap enough. I don't think we're going to get 11 targets every week or 14 targets and 11 catches like he had last week. But it is a good game environment. It is the Lions. So in cash, I'm fine with it. It's an easy spot to look at trying to fade in tournaments. But for cash games, I think I'm okay playing Zay Jones.
All right. I just want to... Davante Adams on FanDuel is one of our top plays. And he's underpriced at 8.6. So on FanDuel, I love Davante Adams. But I want to discuss punts. Do you need to punt the wide receiver position this week? Because the two that I have on this list are Chase Claypool, simply because he's the last man standing. He's at 3.8. I'm not saying I love this. And then a true Hall of Famer, Justin Watson, at 3.2.
Yeah, when are we going to give him the gold jacket? I mean, come on. He's earned it. Yeah, I don't think you need to, based off what we have available to us at this current point in time. And that largely depends on if we get one of these cheap running back plays to open up. Or, I mean, if we get two, then obviously you definitely don't need to. But if we get one of Warren, Hasty, Bam Knight as like the dude, then you're fine to play one of those guys as your RB1 or RB2. I think you get one of the 6K guys and go up to Eckler or something like that. So I don't think you need to punt at wide receiver. For me, the cheapest that I've gone when I've looked at the slate as it stands now is Zay Jones at 4.9.
All right. Well, I just want to get those thoughts. You know, you could change later in the week about Justin Watson if you want. Always have a soft spot for him. Tight end. Why do you keep mentioning Foster Moreau? He's the dude. He's our guy.
He's our guy, man. If you want, you know, 3 for 35 and just maybe a touchdown, like Foster Moreau is an auto click. You know, that's what you're getting. Yeah, 3.6. He's one of those guys that feels like he should be kind of around 4K from what he's done. But at the same time, if he was 4K, I would never click the button on Foster Moreau. So that's where we're at. But I'm not going to pay up for any of the 4K guys because there's so many elite wide receiver running back plays. So again, it's every week. How do I save money at tight end right now? The two that I was looking at for like cheap plays was Hayden Hurst and Foster Moreau. They're $100 difference. Kind of the same tier. You know, you could say, okay, Hayden Hurst, it's a much better game environment because we think Burrow is going to pass a ton. But Jamar Chase is back, right? That matters. And then for Foster Moreau, we know what we're getting, but the matchup's great against the Chargers. You know, they're bottom five in DVOA to the position. So I like Foster Moreau. Let's just stick with him, man. We've been with him for, what, a month straight? And we love our 3 for 30, so we'll just keep riding it.
He has been our dude. He'll be in the award ceremony later on this year. Yeah, every week I look at players like Pat Freiermuth, who's, I think, 4.3 this week. And it's like, okay, I could tell myself a story against the Falcons that he's in a good spot. And we would say he's way more talented than Foster Moreau, but just that savings that you get is not something you need to do. So I would say Moreau and Hurst are our cheapies. And then Travis Kelce at 7.9 on DraftKings, I am very tempted to play him in cash. I'm very, very, very tempted. But we're going to talk about it later because he's just going to show up in a ton of our GPP stacks. And then...
Well, if you get... Real quick, Kyle, along those same lines, are you trying to get to him even if we don't get these cheap running back plays?
No, that's what I'm saying. I can get to him if I have those cheap guys.
That makes sense.
I want to. I just don't know if I can. And so, you know, the builds are going to show up Foster Moreau or Hayden Hurst. And then I want to tease this. Just a little tease later on the show.
Oh, all right.
George Krieger Kittle is...
Oh, brother.
Is 5K. 5K.
Yep.
That tells me we're going to be hearing a little bit more about our boy, Georgie. Let's finish at defense, and we got a couple questions here from people on Twitter about cash. For defense, we mentioned the Pittsburgh Steelers against Atlanta. It's a great spot. Denver, if you want to do that, their games are always a poo fest. The over-under is 38.5 right now, and who knows what we're getting from Lamar. So at 2.4, and then the Packers, I don't know if we're going to get Justin Fields, but at 3K, I think the Packers are fine. Maybe more in tournaments, but yeah, those are the three defenses I have in front of me.
Yeah, I don't have too much to add. Those are the three that I have on my list as well. And just to speak to kind of the Packers situation, you know, they were already pretty void of playmakers. Obviously, now they're down Darnell Mooney for the year. So if you have the money, it makes a lot of sense, but they're all, I think, in pretty good spots. I would not be playing personally Dave Montgomery and the Packers defense, just put that out there. But you can make an argument for any of these guys. They're kind of in the same tier. Eileen, just save the money if you can, Pittsburgh or Denver for me.
All right, I want to follow up with this question from Steady on Twitter. With a lot of value on the board, Are you paying up at wide receiver for Tyreek or Devontae?
So on FanDuel, I absolutely am prioritizing Devontae Adams against the Chargers. He's cheaper on FanDuel, which we always say is just a massive value because of how the pricing works. So on FanDuel, yes for me for Devontae Adams. Right now, my build does not have Devontae in cash. That said, I mentioned I love Eckler. I think he's in a dream spot, but he's 8.5. Adams is right there at 8.7, and Tyreek is 8.8. So what I'm trying to do is think about if I can build in a smart way to prioritize that late swap window of my flex. I think our roster percentage will show Eckler is number one, Devontae Adams number two in popularity, and then Tyreek. So what I would like to do is try to figure out how can I keep that spot open to prioritize a late swap if I'm losing early in the slate. So overall, I love all three of these guys. We're going to talk about all of them in detail, but right now I don't have one in as a priority.
I completely agree with you. Let's take a quick break and we'll talk about games we like this week.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Most of you listening right now are probably multitasking. Yep, while you're listening to me talk, you're probably also driving, cleaning, exercising, or maybe even grocery shopping. But if you're not in some kind of moving vehicle, there's something else you can be doing right now. Getting an auto quote from Progressive Insurance. It's easy, and you could save money by doing it right from your phone. Drivers who save by switching to Progressive save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Discounts for having multiple vehicles on your policy, being a homeowner, and more. So just like your favorite podcast, Progressive will be with you 24/7, 365 days a year, so you're protected no matter what. Multitask right now. Quote your car insurance at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
The world isn't wide enough. Get immersed in the expansive views of the 48-inch customizable panoramic display in the all-new 2024 Lincoln Nautilus Hybrid. Explore more at Lincoln.com. Some models, trims, and features may not be available or may be subject to change. Check with your local retailer for current information. Lincoln and Nautilus are trademarks of Ford or its affiliates.
We have four games this week, and these might be, when I was profiling these, like ones that I'm so excited because I could see people stack any of the options. Like any of the quarterback options, you can really go. Maybe not Derek Carr. We had that 1 week last week, and that's as far as we're going. But other than that, I think you can really go so many different directions this week. So let's talk about stacking.
Stack Attack.
I want to bring it up for the OG listeners that in our show doc, we still have this section of the show doc, the Stack Attack Games We Like to Stack, brought to you by Michael Joseph Glennon. And I bring that up because we're talking about the Jags and talking about the Lions, but I mean, Mike Glennon still is a big part of this. Maybe there's a memorial award for this guy.
We should make a Mike Glennon memorial award. It's the grossest player Kyle recommended on the show that year.
And Adam Humphries definitely was in that list in the past. That is a great award. All right. So
we should definitely keep that in. I'm going to write it down before I forget.
Okay.
In Slack.
By the way, people, I'm really proud of my friend over here. He is upgraded to a notebook guy, which I've been for a very long time. Like, write it down. And I would say this has been like life changing for you.
Dude, yeah. So we've been talking about the props, right? We've been hot. And I changed my method because we were kind of talking to a lot of people. We were struggling a little bit in the first month of the season, had a losing record, and I was like, what are we doing wrong? So I simplified the process. I got an old-fashioned notepad out. It's one of those ones that's just like, you know, there's no cover on it. It's just straight like this. You rip the page off and turn. And I write notes to myself whenever I have research that I come across. And I've been doing that since our props have been hitting. I can't think of anything else that it's being, you know, awarded to other than the notebook. So, Kyle, when we're out in Phoenix together, I'm bringing this bad boy with me.
Dude, you're coming in a couple of weeks. Bets will be here for a Thursday show. We're going to record it live together. And I've said this before to people. This will be the first time that Bets and I have met in real life and not on a screen. So maybe I just need to gain 40 more pounds before I see you just so I can just look different.
Just throw me off. Just, Kyle, what happened to you? You look terrible.
No, dude, I've been eating well since I got back. So, all right, Jacksonville Jaguars at the Detroit Lions. This line has moved back and forth. It opened up with Detroit minus 1.5. Now it's Jacksonville minus 1. The over-under is at 51.5. We love this game environment because Detroit games at home are producing more total points per game than any other environment in the league. 62 points. Also, their defense sucks. And Jacksonville's defense sucks. So, what could be better bets than a bunch of teams that don't know how to defend and options that are pretty affordable, right? Like, other than Amon-Ra, like, you're not really paying up for anyone.
Yeah, this game screams value, right? Because you talk about Trevor Lawrence. We'll start on the Jags side of the ball. Like, if you wanted to play him, I get it. 5,900 on DraftKings is a really solid price point. I even think he's cash viable if you think you want to go that way. Since week 9, he's second in PFF passer grade, 10th in yards per attempt in the league. And oh, by the way, he quietly has 20 plus DraftKings points in 4 of his last 6 games. Like, he's been good. He just hasn't been kind of the headline quarterback. But, you know, we know the situation for Detroit. You talked about them actually being a much better run defense. That sets up even better for Trevor Lawrence to win through the air here. When you think about how these teams interact, you know, Jared Goff is obviously not an elite quarterback, but he is competent enough to move the ball. So you could see this kind of two good to average offenses against absolutely horrific defenses. That's recipe for success when you think about DFS upside. So I like Trevor Lawrence. We talked about Zay Jones. You know, he is what he is. If he goes out for another 150 yards this week, so be it. I want to try not to play him if I can in tournaments just because I know he's going to be extremely popular. Direct leverage, though, spend up a little bit, 6,300. I think Christian Kirk's an awesome spot this week. Since week 6, Detroit has allowed the most fantasy points to slot wide receivers and 10 touchdowns out of the slot. Last week on Thanksgiving, no one saw Isaiah McKenzie coming in the slot against Detroit. So I love Christian Kirk. His red zone role is one of the best in the league.
That's a hot stat. And yeah, we like both of these slot wide receivers. Although I will add, the Lions have had a bunch of injuries where Amon-Ra has been playing more outside than he was at the end of last year. We love both of these guys. And I think that's a great point. Like, Zay Jones is going to be the cash option, but I still think Christian Kirk is going to get steam. Like, people are going to want to play him because of the Lions. Can I give you a scenario where this game hits the under?
That's not fun, but I guess you can.
I just want to give because this is a cheap game. This is a good value game. And there is a scenario where this game ends up hitting the under because Detroit gets the lead at home. Like, Detroit, Dan Campbell sometimes wants to turtle up. That's what he wants to do. And in neutral situations, they're 6th in rush rate. They're 2nd in running on 2nd long, which this is like the most Dan Campbell thing. It's 2nd long. Let's just run the ball. And then
2nd and 12. Let's hand it off.
Let's do it. And they're 7th in the second half when trailing. So there is a scenario where this is another Jamal Williams game. And Jay Willie's production is the most frustrating thing in DFS because he's someone I always want to fade because he's so touchdown dependent. Almost 50% of his fantasy points this year have come via the touchdown. The dude's leading the league, so it's really hard to ignore it. I did place a wager, by the way. I don't know if I told you this. Nick Chubb to lead the league in rushing touchdowns. He's one behind him.
Okay. All right. Let's get some regression for Jamal. Let's get some more for Nick Chubb. That could be good.
Yeah, it's like plus 270 something. So
I like it.
I felt pretty good. But anyway, that's the scenario in this game where it hits the under. And they slow it down, and Detroit doesn't need to pass as much, and you don't get Jared Goff throwing for, you know, 35, 40 times. It's totally possible. We've seen games like that. You remember when the Packers played them about 3 weeks ago? It was a game that we were looking at because it was a home game for Detroit. It ended up being a dud that if you would have stayed away from, it was fine. So I just wanted to give a scenario. There is a lot of action. These defenses stink, but there is a route of this failing. And in that case, I would just do like Jamal Williams and Christian Kirk and from this game and just get out of here. But are you just single stacking Lawrence?
So he's kind of one of those guys that I think you want to double stack. The issue is, like, you know, I talked about fading Zay Jones. Then are you going to Marv Jones? I mean, Kyle, it is a revenge game, which we know is the most important metric that exists in fantasy football. Or Evan Ingram, who's a really cheap correlating piece. So I don't mind that at all. I mean, the matchup's good for everyone against Detroit. So, like, I don't mind Lawrence, Christian Kirk, and Evan Ingram or something like that to get off the Zay Jones chalk. But yeah, I think you do want to double him. He's running, Trevor Lawrence is, but just not enough to be one of those quarterbacks that we talk about with Lamar and those kind of guys that you single stack. So I do think you want to double in tournaments. If you're playing in a small field, I definitely want to double him. I could see the argument for just single stacking and hoping that all of his touchdowns go to Christian Kirk or something if you're playing in like the Millie or whatever. But I think most of the time you want to double stack.
I think you glossed over the fact that it's also a revenge game for DJ Chark.
Yeah.
So I'm one, and I like both these guys. Like, I like DJ Chark for this year. I couldn't stand him the years before. And Marv Jones has always been my boy. Do you think that these two teams know that these two players at the same position have this revenge in front of them, and they like send them out to the middle, like old school battle style, and say, you guys fight for who gets a true revenge game here?
Wouldn't it be awesome if we just see like 12 targets randomly for both these guys? Just feed them the rock.
It's hard. So DJ Chark caught the touchdown last week, but it's really hard to project him for anything more than, yeah, you're getting a deep bomb. And Marvin Jones is literally the same. They're like the same player that we're looking at. So, you know, I'm probably staying away for this game. For me, it's Amon-Ra, it's Kirk. And then, yeah, if you want to stack Lawrence, he can get in the end zone on the ground. That's what you're hoping. To compete with Burrow and Mahomes and Herbert, I think he needs a rushing score. So, but yeah, give me your Vegas take.
I like the over in this one for sure. I want to lean into the early money. Like you said, it was Detroit was favored early. Then a ton of money came in on the Jags. Now the Jags are favored. So sharp money is going there. So I think the Jags take care of business. I'll take them -1.
Any chance I can get to bet against the Lions, I will do it. So I will say, yep. I will say Lions. And I thought about taking the under, but I wrote in here so I could be a fake sharp. So I'll just stay away from that.
Probably best.
Yep. All right, next game, which might surprise people. It's the Miami Dolphins at the San Francisco 49ers. This is in the afternoon window. San Francisco is a 4-point home favorite. The over-under is 46.5, and this game also has revenge all over it from my boy Mike McDaniel, Kyle Shanahan. There's a lot to like, and these teams are very similar. So when we kind of analyze, like, okay, how do they approach things, their efficiency, their yards per attempt, these quarterbacks are off the charts. But stacking Jimmy G never feels great. And even with Tua, like, his upside's kind of been capped because they've been killing people in the first half and then just resting their starters at the end. So how are you approaching this game from a stacking perspective?
Yeah, I mean, I think when you look at it, like you said, these teams are very similar. They obviously know each other. So when you're looking at stacking, like, to me, last week Jeff Wilson was head and shoulders the most popular play on the slate. I don't really have any interest going back to him, even though it's a revenge game against the Niners, given that Mike McDaniel is super smart. He knows that the Niners have one of the best run defenses in the league. Last week, there's a clip that's going around on social media of him on the sideline talking about, should I just throw it on every play here? And they were already up like 3 scores. So that is the kind of guy that Mike McDaniel is. He knows that the way to move the ball is a throw. So I think we're going to see a massive number of attempts from Tua in this spot with lots of play action, lots of pre-snap motion, all those things that make him efficient. And it's very clear to me, like, it's Tua, it's Tyreek, it's Jalen Waddle. I don't have much interest other than those guys on the Miami side of the ball for obvious reasons. And I just want to speak to like Tyreek. If, like I said, I'm prioritizing this spot, my flex, if I need to get up to someone that can absolutely just go bonkers, it is Tyreek Hill in this matchup. San Francisco, very quietly, 29th in DVOA, defending deep passes. Tua is the most accurate deep ball passer in the league this year. So I love this spot for Tyreek, obviously Jalen Waddle as well. So, you know, it's pretty clean. I think you play those two guys and you play them with Tua and you move on.
I agree with you. And I will also add that Mike McDaniel has risen in my ranks. You know, I always like the analytics side. I always like play calling, all that stuff. But he's gone from being a little too smug for me to, okay, he's fun. Like, his players like him. He's fun. I don't know if you saw the clip of him trolling Tua in his headset about...
Yep, yeah, that was good.
I loved it. I love that kind of stuff. On the 49ers side, there's a big question mark with CMC. Where are we at with his status?
Yeah, I think he plays. The issue is he's not going to be 100% because currently what he's dealing with basically is some tendonitis in his knee, and it's a load management issue. So they can't just say, oh, like, tough it out and go out there. He'll be in pain, you know, playing less than 100%. I think he can be somewhat effective in his limited work, but you can't really pay $8,200 on FanDuel or $8,600 on DraftKings for a guy who might play, you know, 75% of his normal snaps or something along those lines. And the way that you move the ball on Miami is very similar to San Francisco. You throw and you beat them through the air. So we talked about that on Tuesday's show, that this Niners team, we all think of them as just, you know, establish it, run the ball like crazy. Their top two backs, Elijah Mitchell and CMC, both hurt. It's very easy to see them morph into, say, like, okay, we know we have to throw the ball with Jimmy G. And they can do that. So I don't have a lot of interest in CMC and even the backups. Like, I know there's a lot of kind of talk in redraft circles like, oh, do you stash Terrion Davis-Price or Jordan Mason, or they want to get Tevin Coleman the ball. I would just be very surprised if those guys ended up in a GPP lineup this week.
Yeah, those are thin play. I mean, Tevin Coleman like had a little brief run and went back to the practice squad. So, yeah, I don't think you need to get too cute on this slate that we talked about earlier. CMC's price tag on FanDuel is very tempting at 8,200 to see him there. But I think it's really simple. If you want to double stack Jimmy G and you say that, you know, this game just goes bonkers, it hits over the 50, then, yeah, I don't mind doing that. Debo is a good price on FanDuel. Kittle's set up to smash. We'll talk about him later. But it's also the hardest part of the 49ers is it could be Ayuk, Debo, or Kittle. I don't know which one. Now, I'm going to take my shot on Kittle, but I feel like it could be any one of those three, and I might guess wrong.
See, the thing is, though, it seems kind of clear to me. Like, Debo has been not great, honestly, for fantasy this year. And when you look at, like, what his numbers say since the CMC trade, 3.3 ADOT. That, I mean, he's also on the injury report again with a quad issue. Last week it was a hamstring. So even though the price tag is super appealing on a guy like Debo, and we know he can break the slate with just a handful of touches because he's so efficient, I'm going to bet against it this week personally. I'm with you. I love George Kittle. And I actually think Brandon Ayuk is one of the best GP plays on the slate based off his price. You know, 6,100, he's kind of right around Christian Kirk. Doesn't feel super comfortable because he's a little bit cheaper too than like Keenan Allen. I think he goes overlooked, and we talked about it. The way you beat Miami is through the air. Since week 8, a 21% target share and 2.21 yards per route run. He's been great this season. So I actually kind of have a little interest, and I normally don't, but I kind of have some interest in the small field stuff that I play of Jimmy G, Ayuk, and Kittle, and then bring it back with Tyreek on the other side.
I think I'd be fine with that on FanDuel.
Yeah.
I think I would be fine if you wanted to do that. I will take the over in this game.
I took the over, and I'm going to take the Dolphins plus the 4.
Next game, Los Angeles Chargers at Las Vegas Raiders. This is a rematch from week 1. The line is the Chargers minus 1.5, and the over-under is at 50.5. Writing the Pace of Play article, it was so fun just to remind myself over and over again, the Chargers are what we want in a team stacking for DFS purposes. Like, they've all but abandoned the run and said, let's just keep throwing. I looked up this stat, but they leave the most amount of time left on the play clock than any other team. So like, they're just snapping it, and you're getting a team with Justin Herbert where we saw a ceiling last week. Like, we saw the 3-touchdown game, and we've kind of been waiting for that. So is it kind of copy and paste with the Chargers of what we thought last week against the Cardinals, where, hey, you can double stack Herbert and you can stack him with Eckler if you want to?
Yeah, there's not really too much to say about it. I mean, Eckler is in a dream spot. We talked about that. Keenan Allen, I have a tough time clicking the button on him on FanDuel personally. To me, more of a DraftKings appeal, just because, you know, he can pile up 8, 9, 10 catches in any game. And like you said, Herbert's throwing a ton. They're up in pace. They're up in pass rate over expectation, everything that we love. And the Raiders, man, are just so bad in the secondary. So it's very easy to see the path for Justin Herbert double stacks. I think you can play Eckler as part of that. I think, you can throw in Josh Palmer as a guy that, you know, was kind of popular a little bit last week, disappointed. So I'll have some exposure to Eckler, Keenan, Josh Palmer in my stacks. But yes, I love the spot for Justin Herbert. I think he goes bonkers. 279 and 3 touchdowns in week 1.
Any interest in Gerald Everett, our boy Mount Everett? We used to ascend the hill, but it's been a while. Knowing that Foster Moreau is probably going to be a more popular cash play, can you do Herbert, Eckler, Mount Everett, and then bring it back with Devontae Adams?
I think you definitely can. The tricky thing is just, you know, we know the floor in any tight end, but especially one that you're paying $4,400 for is a little tricky. That said, Las Vegas is allowing the 8th highest catch rate in the league and the 5th most touchdowns to the position. So all he has to do is score a touchdown to pay off his price tag. And so, yeah, it makes sense. I think I personally wouldn't play... Well, I shouldn't say that. I was going to say I wouldn't play Palmer and Everett together because I think Palmer's value is also pretty closely tied to touchdowns. But I think it's okay. If he goes for 3 and one of those guys each get 1, I think it's fine.
I personally won't be playing Derek Carr because I'm contractually obligated to just have 1 Derek Carr win for the year. And it was last week.
What if Josh Jacobs sits?
It's just hard. If Josh Jacobs sits, then... Yes, it elevates what I think about Devontae Adams and Moreau even more of just pure targets. But Derek Carr can't really fully compete with these other ones because he usually never hits 300. We know the stat was, you know, 3 touchdowns. He wasn't getting there. And like, same thing, Kirk Cousins last week. Last week on Thanksgiving, he hit 3 touchdowns. He hit 300. He was a QB9 on the week because he doesn't offer anything on the ground. So I just have a hard time with these pocket passers outside of Patrick Mahomes, who obviously can run the ball, if they can compete in a GPP. And I'm not playing him in cash. So then he's kind of left at like, he's my like 7th favorite quarterback, 8th. And I just won't end up stacking him.
Yeah, that's fair. I think he's, it depends on what you play in, right? Like, you play a lot more in the large field stuff, Kyle. So if you're like, you know, I have a 10,000 person tournament, is Derek Carr really going to win me that tournament? Probably not. But some of the stuff that I play in that's like 200, 500 person, if the other guys on the slate have an okay day but not great, and Derek Carr gets you 275 and 2, and you get the right stacking partners, I think it can get there. So it just depends on your slate context for me, what you're playing in.
I dare you to play a Derek Carr stack in our weekly contest.
Which one?
600 person contest.
The 600? 600
okay. person one.
I'll think about it. I'll think about it.
So Davante Adams, we mentioned earlier, 37% target share of the last month. When he saw these Chargers, he went bonkers. I think he had like a 50% target share in that first week. Like, it's really clear and really clean on the Raiders side. And if Josh Jacobs is active, you know, I'm not going to copy and paste last week. If people want to do that, like, oh, he wasn't supposed to be active, he did the same thing this week. It's just really hard, especially if he's going to be more popular. He wasn't popular last week, which made him an even better play. So 7,900 at 9,500 on a FanDuel, that feels like a no way I'm going to pay that. But anything else on the Raiders side?
Yeah, by the way, that's $500 more than Patrick Mahomes' price on FanDuel. So yeah, I'm with you. Yeah, not too much to say. We talked about Moreau. Davante Adams is in a dream matchup. I played actually one lineup with Mac Hollins last week, just as a late swap to like get different. You know what you're going to get. It's like 3 to 5 targets maybe, and you hope for a touchdown. But outside of that, I think Davante just sees so much usage, goes nuts here.
I will take the Chargers -1.5.
I'm going to take the Raiders +1.5.
How dare you? Do you even care about analytics?
Science, man.
You're a notebook guy now. Yeah. This is all I care about.
That's all I care about.
All right, let's finish it off with the game that, you know, everybody and their mama wants to talk about. Kansas City Chiefs at the Cincinnati Bengals. The Chiefs are 1.5-point road favorites. This over-under is at 52. And Betts mentioned it. This is a pass rate over expectation fest that we love every single part of this. We love that the Bengals, after week 2, said, hey, we're not doing a good job running the ball. Let's just give the ball to, I don't know, Joe Burrow and let him work. So props to Zach Taylor for getting out of the way. That's like his best part of his job. His best quality is not doing his job and letting other people do their job.
His best quality is just staying on the sideline. Just stay out of the way. You guys go ahead clapping. And take care of business. I'll just be here if you need me.
Ja'Marr Chase, I think people are excited. I am one of those people that I will just clear here. I traded him away in a redraft league 3 weeks ago. Because every timeline I was getting, and I know you're the medical person here, I just said, I don't believe any words they're saying about this. And it kept getting delayed, and it kept getting delayed. Where are we at with him, and how much confidence can you have like paying up for him? It's not like he's cheap.
Sounds like you were listening to the Injury Blitz pod.
There you go.
Yeah, I mean, the thing with Ja'Marr Chase is like the injury, and I talked about this on the Injury Blitz, was like 2 weeks ago he was on crutches. People were thinking like, oh, in his first game back, like he's fine. You don't go from being on crutches to 100% in a week and a half. Will he play in this game? I think very, very likely. But he actually had some quotes this week speaking to the media about like, you know, I'm not in pain. I'm moving pretty good. I feel pretty good. But basically he said kind of like, we'll see what I do in practice this week. So I think he plays. I'm just not sure that he's out there for 100% of his normal workload. So for me, in tournaments, I'll probably have a little bit of a fade on Ja'Marr Chase. I love that Ja'Marr Chase being back, though, will take, hopefully, my hope, is some roster percentage off of T. Higgins, because I think T. Higgins is in a beautiful spot in this matchup. Kansas City, 26 in explosive pass rate allowed since week 7. So if people are on Ja'Marr Chase, I'm happy to look at T. Higgins.
The weird part, I'll throw in Tyler Boyd because he's been doo-doo recently, but his splits this year have been better with Chase in the game. And it makes sense. Like, you know, the defense has to account for Chase on the field as opposed to not. But so Boyd's interesting in large field to me, and Burrow is somebody I want to double stack because he has enough production where 303 is what we look for. His correlation is not as strong with Hayden Hurst as I thought, so it's not something where you feel like you have to. A cash game tight end, you have to attach to Joe Burrow. So if you wanted to go Burrow, Higgins, Boyd, I love that. But any thoughts on Joe Mixon? I almost feel like if we didn't have Mixon, it would be clearer because we have Samaje Perine, who's kind of this, you know, he's hyper-targeted sometimes in the passing game, and he was pretty good last week.
Yeah, and he's been involved in the passing game throughout the entire year, Samaje Perine has, but also so has Joe Mixon on base downs, right? So even if, you know, Mixon is back and Samaje Perine still works in, I think there's enough for Mixon to get there. I think he is not going to get played a lot in cash, and so I like him for tournaments as a part, you know, to get access to this game, basically, for the ceiling that we think it has. And I think one way to play this, it's not optimal necessarily, but I think it is okay to actually play Mixon and Joe Burrow together because, you know, we know he's targeting the tight end, running back position, rather. It's 23% for his target share to running backs for Joe Burrow this year. That's sixth highest in the league. That's up 5% from last year. So Kansas City's allowing a ton of receptions and yards, their fourth most yards, to running backs through the air. If they just say, you know what, we're throwing it on every play, Joe Mixon's going to run a ton of routes. I think you can play him either with Joe Burrow or without, just as a piece to get access here and say, okay, I'll play Mixon, I'll fade the pass catchers, and I'll stack up Pat Mahomes.
All right, I want to be the person that interjects here, as I always do, and give the, you know, the glass half full. Can I give that for this game? Or just only fun?
Half empty or half full? Because half full, you'd be like, okay, I can see us getting there.
Okay, half empty. Sorry. Sorry, people.
No, you're not. I'm not going to allow it on this show. We're in a good mood, Kyle. Don't talk about how this game fails because it's going to be the game of the week.
Okay, so remember when we had Chiefs and Bills and everybody was like, this is the game of the year? That game hit the ender, remember? Okay.
Yeah.
Had a 40, it ended at 44. I want to give you this with the Chiefs games, okay? Because Chiefs games are always one that we want to look at. This year, we've had 7 Chiefs games with a total over 50, which is what we always talk about on this podcast. 4 of those 7 hit the under. And I was like, okay, well, maybe those games hit the under because the other teams were just terrible and they couldn't get there and the Chiefs were having to put up all the weight. In all 4 of those games that hit the under, the Chiefs failed to hit their team implied total in all 4 of them. So just keep that in mind that there is a scenario where the Bengals slow things down because we've seen that in the past. But overall, we love the passing environment. If that does happen, then you just want to correlate 2 pieces in this game and move on. But this will be the most popular game, and it should be for good reason. But I just want to give a case that there have been unders in Chiefs games, and they have been the ones to not put up more than their team implied total. So, on the Chiefs side, what do I do other than Mahomes and Kelsey? Tell me, Betts.
I'm surprised you're asking me because you think Justin Watson is a wide receiver 1 in this league.
The wide receiver one.
So, yeah, it's kind of tricky because they're currently running like a wide receiver committee. But Mahomes told us early in the year, like, we're going to do that. So we shouldn't be surprised. That creates a lot of, you know, uncertainty. And in DFS, we kind of hate that uncertainty. But I think you lean into it. You know, it's a way to get different. You can stack up Mahomes. We know it's going to Kelsey. And then you look at one of these other guys. I think Juju is interesting because last week he was kind of eased back in. Andy Reid said, you know, we're not really sure if we would have him or not. It turns out he cleared protocol. So you kind of had this limited role. But weeks 1 through 9 before the concussion, almost a 20% target share, and was pretty good. 2.05 yards per route run for Juju was good. So I think Juju is interesting. 5,700 is nice on DraftKings. You know, Justin Watson, fine in a tournament, punted off. I think Sky Moore is a fade, in my opinion, based off the fact that he has only run a route on 37% of dropbacks in the last 2 weeks. Just not enough playing time to win in a GPP, in my opinion, unless he finds the end zone, which it can happen any week. But I think my primary interest is Kelsey and Juju.
I'm kind of off Juju, especially on FanDuel, 6,900.
Yeah, no, this for me, it'd be DK only.
So I think in this, it's in small fields, I'm just going to keep it simple. I'm just going to go Kelsey Mahomes. I'm not going to try to get too cute. But in large fields, I will attach one of those cheap guys, hoping I get the touchdown from Sky Moore or Justin Watson. And yeah, please, people, understand, like, we have a good joke going on with Justin Watson. It's more of his price, the fact that he's on the field. And then I can say Sky Moore has been targeted when he's on the field, like way more than any other wide receiver. 39% targets per route run over the last 2 weeks. I don't mind attaching that third piece. But Juju's one of those players where, like, I don't need 6 for 60 from him. Like, I don't need a Deontay Johnson type game. I need a touchdown in a tournament. And Juju's, it's just tough for me to do that. So I know that Kelsey's going to score because that's all he does, right? And I'll probably find it with the other guy.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, it's so tough with these guys, right? Because like the underlying usage metrics are all kind of all over the board. So I think it's fine to take a shot on any of them and hope for the best. It's a great game environment, and that's all you're saying, really, with those cheap guys.
All right, give me your Vegas take.
I see yours in the dock, and it's not as fun. I'm going to take the over. I also think KC wins this game.
I'm not trying to, you know, I'm not trying to make friends here. No, I want to give the other side so that people can see it. I know that in KC games, I've tried to do that to be tempered, you know, like I did Kansas City and Indianapolis. What a take that was. Am I right?
Yeah, that one sailed to the under.
I'll say this. The only reason I like the under is because of how much the field likes it. So in large field only, I'm approaching this game as if it hits the under because I want to use that against people. That's the only reason I'm doing it. But in small fields, I will be playing a lot of stacks, Mahomes stacks. I'll be playing Burrow and cash. It is swell. All right. Before we move to our props, it's another week for Slate Breakers. And this week, I just had to selfishly just choose they didn't even reach out to me. I don't know why, but
so they're not really a sponsor.
No, it's the Mighty Ducks. That's it.
What's so funny is that if they don't reach out to you, then they're not a sponsor, right? Because you're the one that's just saying you are the sponsor. So whatever you say, Kyle.
I feel like as much as I can, I almost thought I could get to the point where I can introduce a quote, just throwing it in there that no one else will get. That's a Mighty Ducks quote every single episode and see if people notice it. So
you probably could, honestly. It would go over my head.
I know. That's the best part. So give me your slate breaker this week.
This is a guy I don't think is going to get played at all on this slate, despite the dream matchup, because of all the value that I think we're going to get at running back. I'm talking about Nicholas Chubb against Houston. You talked about your wager for a touchdown. I think he's a great bet this week to find the end zone against Houston. 8K on DraftKings. He's a guy that I always find hard to click the button on DraftKings, but so does the entire field, right? So I like that. It's tough sell at 9,600 on FanDuel, but on DraftKings at 8K, he's going to go overlooked. They almost have a 27 team total, and this is the first game back for Deshaun Watson in a very, very long time. Don't you think they keep it simple on him and just say, Nick Chubb, here's 22 carries, go run the heck out of the ball? I think he's going to be in a great spot here. Let him rip off a couple long runs, find the end zone. Give me Nick Chubb against the Houston Texans as my slate breaker.
All right, I teased George Kittle earlier at 5K. That is very low on a slate where we have Kelce, we have Andrews, and I think Kittle can compete. CMC, who knows what we're going to do. I feel like it's one of those games where Kyle Shanahan just kind of draws up a game plan where Kittle is the focus of it. He's still running a route on 75% of San Francisco dropbacks, which is a top five number. He's kind of ping-ponged games where he's like been like awesome, not usable. But since week six, only Travis Kelce has more double-digit fantasy weeks, and he's had a ceiling where you've seen those. And since week seven, the Dolphins are 31st in schedule-adjusted fantasy points allowed to tight ends. That is elite. As I say, it's not worth winning unless, you know, you can't win big. Like, you got to win big here.
Dude, I love George Kittle. I'm definitely going to be playing a lot of stacks with George Kittle, either as the bring back in that game or as a stacking partner with Jimmy G. So I am in on Kittle at 5K on DraftKings. You kidding me?
I love it. All right, let's prop it like it's hot.
Prop it like it's hot.
I bet you didn't know that I just put in a Mighty Ducks quote in the middle of that George Kittle thing.
I was kind of zoning out, I'm not going to lie, so I definitely missed it.
Nice. Okay, it's fine. Bets, I've got two props today, and I'm going to start off the first one, and all of these are available in the DFS Pass. I'm not saying these are DFS Pass sanctioned, because Betts is the one that gets to give the final call on those. But Jared Goff, over 1.5 passing touchdowns. It's at minus 105 when I took it earlier. He's hit this in 5 of 6 home games. He's averaged 258 and 2.5 passing touchdowns at home this year. I think that number is too low. I could see a scenario where he goes one or under. But like I said, 5 of 6 home games, he's hit this mark. I think it's too low.
Yeah, good value, I think. Minus 105. I probably would put it at like minus 120 or something like that. So I like the value there for sure. And we like this game. We talked about the Jags just being terrible. So I like it. I'm going to go George Pickens, longest reception over 19.5 yards, minus 120 on BetMGM. You can find it on DraftKings at minus 125. He has one 20 plus yard catch in 7 of his 11 games. That also includes games going back to like week 1, week 2, week 3, when he was just a part-time player with Mitch Trubisky. Obviously things have changed. He's a full-time player now. And oh, by the way, against the Atlanta Falcons, who are giving up a ton of deep balls. George Pickens, longest catch, over 19 and a half yards.
All right, here's one I'm galaxy braining for the people out there, the sickos out there.
I love this, by
Parker
the way.
Parker Hesse. Do you really?
Oh, this is going in the article.
Yes. Okay. For those of you who don't know, the Falcons have other tight ends that are not named Kyle Pitts, sadly. And Parker Hesse is one of those. Last week, Mecole Pruitt was the one who caught the touchdown. They also have your boy, Anthony Ferk Daddy Fresh, Ferkser. And Parker Hesse is one of those that's basically been a blocking tight end. You can also pronounce it Parker Hesse. But his line right now is 7.5 receiving yards. He's getting targeted on 8% of his routes this year. He's running about 6 routes per game over the last 6 weeks, and he's never had more than one reception in a game. So I think it's one of those things where you're betting against a player who hasn't caught a ball in majority of his games this year. You're saying, oh, he goes under 7.5.
I absolutely cannot wait to put on my TV, randomly see on Red Zone Scott Hansen say, Parker Hesse with a nice 22-yard catch. But I'm with you. This is a great spot to fade. Interesting line, right? Like, no one's talking about this, so I like it. I'll put it in the DFS pass.
Yeah, a team that's running out 3 tight ends in a gross game environment, those are things that you want to hit the unders on. And there's lots of unders out there. The books don't like to lay a lot of lines. Like, if they had a Mecole Pruitt one, I would totally hit the under on that. But they're not even laying that because it just doesn't matter. So since Pitts is gone, they don't really know what to do at all on offense. Trust me, it's really bad. All right, before we finish, let's get in the mailbag.
Mailbag.
If you want to get your questions answered best, it's in our Discord channel of DFS Pass members. This first one is from Solazilla. It says, I've been trying to focus on doing 3 max, $1 to $3 entries that have about 100 in them. I usually make 3 lineups with 3 different quarterback stack combos, and I feel like I am treading water for the most part, as if one hits, I am maybe making the back entry costs. Is it better to just go with 1 quarterback stack and then alternate pieces around that?
So I think there's different ways to approach 3 max. My personal philosophy is that I try to make 3 lineups that aren't really correlated together at all, meaning I want 3 different quarterbacks, 3 different stacks, primary game stacks that are not the same in my 3 lineups, because what I'm saying is I'm taking 3 darts and I'm trying to hit first with one of them. I don't want to hit 10th, you know, 21st and 50th because I have like a couple of the same guys. I want to either go for the nuts or lose. I'm trying to go for absolute ceiling. So for me, I'm going with 3 different stacks and trying to make sure I have a ceiling in mind in these contests.
Yeah, I play 3 max and I play 20 max. 20 max is the one where I definitely will go 3 quarterbacks and just say, here's where I go. But I don't mind. Like this week, if you just want to say, hey, in this 100 person contest, I'm going to play 3 Mahomes stacks. That's totally fine. And just do them a couple different ways with those different pieces that you like. Next one is from @FantasyRightDie. If Jacobs plays, is he a cash lock?
We talked about that a little bit at the top of the show. I don't think so, just based off the injury concern. But again, if we get a full bill of health, if he gets a full practice on Friday, then I could see it for sure.
Next one's from @JDSmooth. When you guys say y'all hand build lineups, what exactly does that mean? What are y'all's process when it comes to setting up lineups / narrowing y'all's player pool?
So yeah, hand building lineups, I think people maybe misunderstand for like not using projections. Kyle and I still use projections and still look at kind of how things fit in a lineup. Kyle, I know you use a spreadsheet. I still use an optimizer to kind of help me look at what the optimal lineup will show and then kind of tailor it from there. I'm just not someone that uses an optimizer to run, you know, 20 or 150 lineups like some other people. So for me, hand building is kind of saying like, here's what the computer shows, but also let's use some of our football knowledge and some of our kind of DFS game theory takes to adjust it a little bit. That's what it means for me. And you know, the player pool that I have each week like is in the DFS pass. It's my DraftKings cash pool and my DraftKings GPP pool. So you can get access to that stuff too in the DFS pass.
Yeah, I think people get to see all of our player pools in our picks. And then, yeah, I use a combination of I write something down on a notebook early in the week just to kind of say, here's my priors. Like, you know, hey, Justin Watson looks like a cheap play. That's all I'm writing. I'm not saying he's a great play. I haven't put any projections. I don't even know how he fits. And so later on the week, I might say, hey, Betts, you know, do you think I need a punt play like Justin Watson this week? He's like, actually, I don't know. So that's how we go back and forth. And then I actually put my lineup, put our projections, look at the points per dollar stuff we have in the DFS pass in a spreadsheet, which we have lots of people in Discord that have made their own and are willing to give that for free. I mean, it's really simple. It's just adding up the points and looking at how much players cost. So that's kind of what I do. And then I narrow it down Saturday and Sunday based on, okay, this lineup, here's where the projection's at. Do I want to trade, you know, this pointer, you know, 3 points of projection to go from Eckler and Amon-Ra to, I don't know, Davante Adams and Joe Mixon. I don't know. Like, that's where you can compare and do it really simple. But it's still hand building because you're doing it manually as opposed to an optimizer, which unless you learn to tweak an optimizer, it's not going to do what you want it to do. And we've talked about that before on the show. Next question is from Dualian. We had some adverse weather for some of the 1 p.m. slate games last week, which caused me to worry on a couple of players. How do you guys approach weather in your lineups, and do you have a website you would like to use for weather info apart from the Fantasy Footballers one?
So I read that article every week, and then I also use NFLweather.com. What a URL, right? And kind of shows you like what they expect from quarter one to quarter two to quarter three to quarter four. Because like a game might start out with rain in the morning and wind, but like by the third quarter, it could be totally clear. So you just want to kind of assume that it's going to be fine, or it is just one, you know, good or bad throughout the entire game. It can change. But again, weather is such a small part of this. I think people generally overreact to weather. I overreacted last week. I didn't play any Garrett Wilson, sadly. And you know, if you double count, like if you say, okay, like the projection shows that he's a pretty good play, but the projection already bakes into account some weather, and then you say, well, I'm not going to play him because of the weather. You're double counting and kind of getting yourself out of a good play, which I did last week. So weather matters a little bit. To me, though, it's only like the extremes, like, you know, absolute blizzard, 30 plus mile an hour winds, like stuff like that. If it's like 15 miles an hour and drizzling, who cares?
Yeah, I have people that message me all the time on like a Wednesday or a Thursday, and they ask about weather stuff, and I go, I don't look at that at all until Saturday. Like, unless it's a really extreme one, like that snow game that we had that ended up being played in a dome, like there was no point of giving all of these thoughts about it when things change and you're waiting until later on. So I would agree with Betts. Find out what the weather is on a Saturday, Sunday situation. Just look at projections because they bake that in, and you're looking at your lineup from a median outcome for cash, especially. Now on GPPs, I get if you want to go underweight on stuff, but I agree. I think people overvalue that stuff, and I think at the end of the day, it doesn't really matter. There is an article on our site called Weather Really Matters from our buddy Matt DeSorbo that kind of goes through and says, okay, here's how it changes, and it's not as much as you think. So check that out on the site. Two more questions. This one's from Kyle, which
is this you?
I tell people, this is not me from Discord, but I tell people, Kyles are either the best people in the world or they are my sworn enemy, and I must take them down. So let's see how this goes. Kyle Korver, former NBA player, great guy. Love him. Love the dude. But there's some other Kyles out there. Kyle Singler, wasn't he the Duke basketball player?
Yeah. Oh, I forgot about him. Yes.
Yeah. Not likable.
No.
Not likable at all.
No.
Not the Kyles you want.
Nope.
So from this Kyle variant, it says, I've been trying to contest contest selection better, and I've been focusing on 1 to 3 entry tournaments. When playing 100 person single entry tournaments in DK, is the optimal lineup going to be closer to cash or sprinkling something in like in a GPP?
Yeah, this is something we talked about a little bit on our off-season research episodes, showing like the larger the field, the more of these kind of like sub 5% guys you need to win. The smaller the field, the fewer of them that you need. And so 100 person style tournament, I would go maybe with a cash lineup and then just tweak one, maybe two spots, kind of get different there, but you definitely don't have to get off the board.
Yeah, in these smaller tournaments, like the ones we do in our DFS league, I try to take my cash lineup and then say, okay, how am I going to, you know, have some variation here? And I'm not trying to get too cute, but I also know you guys listen to our stuff, so I try not to copy what you guys already know. Last question. This is a really important one that, you know, somebody put it out there, and I know it probably doesn't mean much to most people, but it's a Mighty Dex question, and it's for me. Is that okay, Betts? I'm being selfish.
All you, buddy. Go ahead.
In your own personal headcanon, do you think Gunnar Stahl and Scooter the goalie are the same person, some type of clone, or distant relatives? So just clarify here. Gunnar Stahl was the leading scorer in the tournament in D2 for Iceland. Okay. Scooter the goalie was the goalie for the varsity team for Eden Hall. They are played by the same actor, Scott White. And I've listened to interviews with him, and he said the producer, Steve Brill, the writer, just loved him so much. They said, like, I want to get you in here even though you're the same person, we're just going to, you know, use you in some other. So he's a variant. He's a variant of that player. And I have a Gunnerstall shirt that maybe I'll wear tomorrow and feel really good about it. I need a Scooter the Goalie one. He gets to kiss Julie Gaffney at the end. That's pretty sweet.
What's funny is actually when I saw this this question, I put on the scene when he does the breakaway against Julie the Cat. He stops and there's just, I mean, you want to talk about like drama in a movie, just stops and then fires the puck and it goes silent and no one knows if she caught it or not. That's just gold right there. That's what that is.
It's Bombay putting in a cold goaltender to face the leading scorer in the tournament, but he knows that because he's fancy, like he's going to go glove side. And so she stops him and of course they win. Junior Goodwill Games history.
Dude, don't ruin
right
it.
There.
Come on.
If you haven't seen that movie, get out of my life. all right. If you want to play with us, go to ballersdfs.com. It will direct you to our DraftKings League, Fantasy Footballers DFS, Borg, plus bets. We have a 600-person tournament that is live right now, and we will every single week get to add some new ones. And this week, above all weeks, I need you people. I need you to beat Jason and Andy tomorrow. It's super important for me. So, Betts, any parting wishes for me and for the people?
My parting wish for you is that I hope you lose in this fantasy face-off and you get shamed next week. But for the listeners, have a great weekend. Should be an awesome, awesome slate. Lots of scoring, lots of upside. So enjoy it. Enjoy the football and good luck to everyone. We'll catch you next week.
Thank you for listening to another edition of the Fantasy Footballers DFS Podcast. Don't forget to visit us on the web at www.thefantasyfootballers.com.